Hello, everybody, and welcome to DeathDoorProds.com Game of Thrones spoiler cast. Today we're going to be talking about Episode 8, The Prince of Winterfell. I'm the Dead Man. Join me today. We have Shax.
Hello.
So, what do you think of this episode?
What did I think about this episode? I thought it was really, really good. I really like this episode.
Okay. Yeah, that was all right.
No, it was awesome. It was amazing. There was a point in it where I was getting a little misty, where I'm like, Robb Stark's finally getting laid.
Yeah, like, but when I was watching that, the only thing I could think of is clothing has really advanced. Because that was made today, it would either just be like, you know, rip it open, rip all the buttons off, or just pull it up over your head. Not like spending like 30 seconds untying every single strand of leather or whatever, keeping your shirt on. And they both had to untie each other.
There's a point there when she was untying his leather vest that I'm like, huh, takes her about as long to get undressed as it's taking him to get undressed.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start in the Westerlands. So, King Robb returns from the Crag with Lady Tallisa and is informed of Jaime Lannister's escape. Robb is also informed of his mother's involvement in the escape. When Robb confronts Catelyn, she admits to her involvement, sending Brienne to King's Landing to trade Jaime for Sansa and Arya. Angered with his mother's betrayal, Robb has Catelyn arrested and put under guard. Later, Lord Roose Bolton again offers to have his bastard son retake Winterfell for Robb, to which Robb agrees. When Lady Tallisa enters Robb's tent, he confides in her about his problems. As she tells him a story of why she chose to help the less fortunate, Robb confesses that he does not want to marry one of Lord Walder Frey's daughters, as his mother promised Lord Frey as a deal for their alliance. Tallisa also wishes the same, and the two consummate their relationship. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. I like that whole thing, just even the leading up to them boning on the floor.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a good back and forth with them.
Yeah. I really like... That's one of the things that I really love about this show is the dialogue between characters, especially like this scene here. You learn a lot about her just by this, like, conversation where she's explaining this situation that happened to her with her little brother.
Yeah, and I felt that was like a really, really good explanation of why she, who was a highborn, went and became like a field surgeon.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, I really liked... I gotta say, that scene was one of the main scenes for me that made this episode really good for me, that I really liked it a lot.
I liked when they were returning from the Crag and like they were just standing around talking, and how like Robb was saying about his father, like Ned was saying all the stuff like being a lord is kind of like being a father.
Yeah.
So like I didn't really like that speech.
Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah, and I also like so when Roose Bolton is saying that he has he could have his bastard go and retake Winterfell, and Robb is like giving that ultimatum, saying like if any of the Greyjoys like surrender themselves, they will be allowed to return to like the Pike, allowed to return to the Iron Islands without harm. But then Roose is like, can't really show mercy. A bit of mercy goes a long way, but still. And then he interrupts him and says like, everyone except the young Greyjoy, I want to cut his head off myself.
Yeah,
that was really good. Rob's really coming into his own as a king.
Yeah, I really like Robb. I think I said this before in one of these spoiler casts that, like, in the first season, he was kind of like in the background, mm-hmm. with Ned Stark being, you know, the main character and Robb Stark just being his son.
Yeah, you know, with Ned being Ned.
Yeah, this character has really stepped forward, taken over that role of, like, the main character, especially for the North. And I've really come to like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Yeah.
So, I kind of liked him. So, one thing that I kind of liked with this episode was Brienne and Jaime. like Jamie just doing everything he can to like try to piss her off.
Yeah.
And she just like doing everything she can not to just fucking take a sword through his stomach.
Right.
Like really funny, it's like they're trying to anger me. It's like, I already have. Just Jamie being a real dick.
The best part about that whole back and forth with them was he says something along the lines of like, come on, just unchain me and let's see what happens. And then she's like, you think I'm stupid or something, and then he's like, oh shit, he says something.
It's like, I think you're a knight.
Yeah. Well, he says something to her along the lines of like, I think you're afraid of me or something like that, or you can't take me. Mm-hmm. I know you can't take me. And she's like, well, maybe someday we'll find out.
Yes, that was great. I also liked how he was still doing that stuff. He's like, if he was saying like, oh, you can't take me and stuff, and she's like, all my life men have been saying that to me, and all my life they've been running away with tails between their legs or something.
Yeah.
Just how she's basically saying, I fought like 20 guys like you and I whipped all their asses.
Right.
Yeah, it was great. It's great.
Yeah, that whole thing with Rob's mother.
Yeah, Caitlin.
Caitlin, there we go. I really hate her right now. I do.
I can see that.
That was just the stupidest fucking move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well.
Letting Jamie Lannister go. Okay, she thinks both daughters are still being held captive over there, and no, that's not the deal at all.
Nope. Okay, well, on to the Baratheon Seas. Davos Seaworth and Stannis planned the siege of King's Landing while recalling the memories of the night when Davos saved Storm's End from starving with his onions, as well as recounting how Davos proudly took the title the Onion Knight, despite it originally being used as a derogatory nickname for the nobility. Stannis is bitter about the fact that King Robert gave the fortress to Renly and not to him, who held the besieged castle for the king. Stannis says that he will make Davos his hand, the first lowborn to hold that position.
Yeah, this is where the show splitting up so much shit has really hurt itself, at least for me. Like, it's been a good couple of episodes since any of these characters have been on the show.
Oh, yeah. Last episode was...
I really don't know what the fuck's going on with them anymore.
Yeah, so they are on their ships going towards King's Landing to take it.
Yeah, but like... this whole conversation that happened, I was like, this was completely useless to me. Like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this
I'm
is all...
like, okay.
Yeah, this is all... This was, like, all taking stuff... This is all stuff that took place before the show started. Like, this is all, like, history stuff. Like, these guys, they... Like, so... They're talking about... It's like King Renly, the guy who got stabbed by the weird smoke monster. He was the youngest brother of that whole Baratheon family. And what they were saying was the place that he was king of, the Stormlands, I think. That was, so Stannis was the one who, like, held that place down and defended against the Mad King. The Who's-His-Face Targaryen.
Right.
Yeah, and so he was basically going on and saying, like, so we were holding this place for, like, how long? You came along, and Davos, you came along, saved us with your onions, took the title Onion Knight, and then Stannis, and then Robert gave it to Renly, just because.
Right.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I didn't catch all of it, but it seemed just like kind of world-building stuff of establishing a family history of why Stannis hates everyone.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it's kind of cool. Like, I do like Davos Seaworth because, like, everyone's saying like, "Oh, fucking Onion Knight," and he's like putting onion on his cape and it's like, "Fuck it, I'm Onion Knight. What you got?"
Right. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of in the first season when Tyrion is talking to Jon Snow about him, everyone calling him a bastard, and him telling him wear that as armor, you know.
Yeah, it was the same kind of thing that I think Littlefinger did. He got, like, a quail or something as his family crest, even though he's not really of nobility at all.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool. I like Davos.
Really like him. He's alright.
Yeah, he's going to be Hand of the King if Stannis wins.
Yeah.
So, hey. So, across the Narrow Sea now?
Oh, sure, yeah. Let's get that done.
Yeah, so, Sir Jorah Mormont tells Daenerys that he has found a ship to take them to Astapor, but she refuses to leave Carth without her dragons. Mormont advises her to flee Carth and to leave the dragons behind, believing they are in imminent danger from the self-crowned King of Carth and his warlocks. Daenerys tells Jorah to take her to the House of the Undying, where the warlock Piat Pri has said they are being kept, and he reluctantly obeys. So, after the baller shit that happened in the last episode with Carth, this is just a step down.
Oh, dude, it's more than a step down. It was like a 5-minute fucking scene.
Yeah, but it was just like, last episode they turned everything up to 11, then with this one they turned it back down to 2.
Yeah, it was fucking horrible. Like, that's it. All that was is a quick conversation between her and him.
Mm-hmm.
About her wanting her dragons and him saying you should just leave and her basically questioning his loyalty to her, and he's like, I will, you know, I will die for you, and then that was it. And I'm like, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing? It's just, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm not liking how they're treating that part of the story. I don't feel like it's getting its due because, yeah. Like...
That could be one of the more... That could be one of the most interesting
things.
This is
8 episodes.
That could be
one of the...
It could
be, yeah.
Like, they got the fucking magic and the dragons and the... But it's just like, nope, here's a conversation and go away.
Yeah, I mean, like, out of 8 episodes now, there's only been, like, last episode was the really good one with them.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. I mean, there's been a couple of them that had interesting situations happen, but for the most part, it's always been so fucking just nothing.
Yeah. But hopefully the next episode we'll actually get to go into the House of the Undying and see some fucked up shit going on in there.
Something.
Yeah, just like a bunch of dudes brain dead, drunk off that blue shit. And then just like the warlock starts like multiplying himself until there's like 1,000 of them. And then dragons come along and just roast everyone. Because, you know, they got drunk with that blue shit and grew. Or
that'd
something.
Cool.
I don't fucking know. I just want something interesting to happen again.
Anything will be better than what they had in this episode.
Yeah. Have Jorah make a move on Daenerys and then get killed.
There you go.
Something. Okay, so, on to Winterfell. Theon Greyjoy, or as the Messenger Ravens killed, so word of the deaths of Bran and Rickon, Stark will not leave Winterfell. Soon after, Yara Greyjoy arrives with a few riders, which angers Theon, who has ordered his sister to send 500 men to help him hold the North. Yara reveals that she has come to Winterfell to bring him back home, as his decision to execute Bran and Rickon was foolish, as the boys were valuable hostages, and now the Northerners want him dead. Yara begs Theon as his sister to come back with her, but Theon refuses as he doesn't want to be seen as a coward abandoning Winterfell. Later, while passing through the courtyard, Maester Luwin sees the wildling Osha stealing bread and retreating to the crypts beneath Winterfell. Here, he follows her and discovers that both Bran and Rickon are alive. The two burnt corpses which Theon claimed were Bran and Rickon were actually two orphan boys, which Bran had sent to a nearby farm. Luwin asks Osha not to tell Bran about the orphan boy's death, but unbeknownst to them, he is awake and overhears a conversation. So yeah, Thea's being a bitch again.
I hope he dies soon.
Every character has a 50% chance of dying.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just flip a coin and like, flip a coin, he'll probably die.
I hope so. Yeah, I fucking hate him. I hate all of them. I hope he dies. Hope his sister dies. Hope his dad dies. Hope they all fucking die.
Yeah. One thing I did like about this scene was, all, like, Yara sent all the men away, and she started telling that story of how, like, when he was a baby, he was, like, crying and crying and crying so much, and she wanted to go in there and fucking strangle him.
Yeah.
That was one of the first moments where I could actually... What's the word? Agree with the motives of a Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because his petulance has gotten worse as he got older.
Well, when she explained that, I'm like, man, yeah, he still is a whiny little baby.
Yes. And it's gotten even worse because even you showing up won't get him to shut the fuck up. Christ. But yeah, so one of the things I'm kind of hoping will actually lead to something is Bran overhearing about the deaths of the two kids in his wake, because he seems like the kind of guy who would rally troops and go fuck someone up.
Bran?
Yeah, like he likes his people, and, you know, he had someone murdered on... Someone was murdered in his wake, so he seemed... So I hope he actually does that. I hope he actually does, like, rally some troops to go back for revenge. Because I would like to see him do something more than dream about being a wolf.
Right.
Or maybe actually take control of the wolf and have the wolf go rip out Theon's fucking dick.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like, get that magic angle back in there. We haven't seen that in a few episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want Bran to kill Theon.
I want Robb Stark to do it.
Have them both do it.
There you go.
Yeah, have Bran take over. You have Bran possess Robb's wolf and then have them both kill him. It could happen.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, moving on to Harrenhal. Lord Tywin Lannister intends to attack Robb and his army while their attention is on the Greyjoys to capture Winterfell. He orders Sir Gregor Clegane to stay behind in Harrenhal while Arya is to remain in Harrenhal. Arya tries to find Jaqen before Tywin leaves, intending to have Jaqen kill him, but she cannot locate him in time. When she does, he asks her for a third name, saying she may name anyone and he will kill them. After some thought, Arya names Jaqen, and he begs her to take his name back, to which she agrees, on the condition that they help her escape with Gendry and Hot Pie. True to his word, Jaqen kills Lannister soldiers guarding the entrance to Harrenhal, and the three escape. So, I actually like this.
I love the scene where she says his name.
Yeah, and he just like...
And he like...
Just the look on his face, just like, say name and I'll kill them. Jaqen. What the fuck did you just say? Just gives like this really scared look on his face.
Well, what's so fucking awesome about this scene is he's like, the girls asked me to kill myself, basically, and she's like, yep, that's right. And he's like, please unsay my name. Like,
yes.
And it's like, there's two things about this that's awesome. Like, one, he's begging her to not, you know, change it. Not me.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it seems like he is so loyal to her for this that he probably would do it.
Yeah, he's loyal to the Red God.
I had to give her three.
He's loyal to the Red God.
Yeah.
But I'm just...
He's willing to give her a third name, even if it's himself.
But I'm just wondering something, like... The logistics of it, because he was one of the lives that was saved. So, if he was one of the lives that was saved, would that still count toward the lives that were owed to him, or owed to the Red God? It probably is, but it just logistics of it is a bit, yeah. Still there, Shax? Shax.
I can't. Hello? Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, I can. Oh, so. Okay, so we're maybe having some technical difficulties.
Alright, I can hear you, but it's really breaking up.
Huh.
Really bad.
Can you at least understand me?
I understand that.
Okay, how about now? Is this better?
Yep, I hear you.
Can you actually understand me?
I think there's a delay.
Oh. Okay, so I guess we'll be doing the rest of this with the delay. Okay. So, but one thing I did like about this was, like, when they were leaving, like, Hot Pie is just sitting there bitching and moaning because he's a fat little fuck. But then, like, when they actually go to leave, you just see, like, all the guards are dead. Like, one of them's actually pinned, like, a foot, like, an inch off the ground. He's, like, pinned to a wall with something. And he's, like, Jockey is fucking skilled.
Yeah, I love this character. He's such a... He's becoming one of my favorite characters now. But let's go back to fucking Hot Pie Piggy.
Yes, the fat fuck.
This is... I'm getting annoyed with this with movies. Like, oh, the fat person has to be the fucking lazy one that's only ever thinking about food. I'm so sick of it happening in movies and TV shows. It just drives me fucking insane.
Yeah, it's...
Like, come on. Because, like, the whole time he's just like, I want to go back to the kitchen. It's like, just because you're fucking fat doesn't mean the only thing on your fucking mind is food.
No, I think he worked in the kitchen.
I don't care.
Yeah,
but he wants to go back there because he's fat and he likes to eat.
Yeah, but knowing this show, he's probably going to die. I mean, the other really annoying little fuck
died.
I don't
know if Sam's alive.
Yeah, but Sam's interesting. He isn't always thinking about food. He's thinking about, you know, books and shit.
True.
You know, he is objectively more useful and more interesting of a character than Hot Pie.
Well, Hot Pie, like, he's nothing. Like,
he doesn't even have a real name.
Yeah, and he's only... This is, like, the most dialogue from him. I mean, the only other times you really see him is, like, at the end of the first season when he's fucking with what's-her-name and...
She just pulls her sword on him.
The blacksmith kid comes up and is like, hey, you want to fuck with someone? Fuck with someone your own size.
Yeah.
It's also that's the only real dialogue from that kid.
Yeah. I hope he dies so horribly, horribly painful.
Yeah. I don't really care about him. It's just... Make the fat kid the one that's just wanting to eat all the time. It's like, come on.
Yeah, but I'm just... Like, one thing I was kind of interested in is that... Like, so... up to this point, they've kind of, like, been developing this relationship between Arya and Tywin. But then, like, she actually tries to get him killed. Which I thought was actually kind of cool. Like, and a bit weird, because... Like we said over the time, like we said over the course of this thing, the relationship that's been developing between Arya and Tywin has been really interesting and really cool. But now it's just kind of, yeah, you're gonna kill her.
Yeah, I think it's more realistic this way.
Yeah, it is more realistic,
because like she's hearing the whole conversation about everything and knows that they're talking. You know, it's her brother that they're talking about fighting and how he's winning all these battles and blah blah blah. And he's like, I know how to get him. We're gonna travel at night.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, now I. Is a good time to have him killed so this doesn't happen.
Yeah, like it does make sense from a story standpoint, but I just... Like from a realistic end, kind of like a story standpoint, it does make sense, but I would have liked it if there had been a bit more of a hesitation there.
Yeah.
Like, if she had a... Like, if there had been, like... She's like, alright, they're going to attack my brother. It's like, okay, what do? I do like this guy, but he's going to attack my family. And then going. Instead of just, like... Go have my family? Fuck, he's dead.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's that happened. And they escaped. So, on to Beyond the Wall. Jon Snow is presented a rattle shirt who just, as an aside, has a fucking awesome mask.
You know what that mask reminds me of? Is the one swordsman from the movie Willow.
Never seen Willow.
You don't surprise me. Yes.
After Rattleshirt orders Jon to be killed, Ygritte saves him, telling Rattleshirt that Jon is Ned Stark's bastard son and that Mance Rayder will want to meet him. Corran Halfhand, having been captured while searching for Jon, tells him that Mance intends to march on the wall and he may survive being a wildling prisoner if he does what needs to be done. At the Fist of the First Men, Sam and Gren discover a Night's Watch cloak which holds a strange horn and obsidian daggers. So, yeah.
Yeah, one scene where, like, when Chesto first, you know, is brought in, and he finds the other dude that's also captured. Mm-hmm. He's like, I couldn't kill her, this is my fault. They're all dead because of me. And the other guys were like, well then, make it so they didn't die for nothing. But then later when they're walking, he pushes them down the fucking hill.
Yeah, like that, but he did say, like, well, when he did that, he said beforehand, it's like, make sure you do what needs to be done.
Yeah, right.
And so, I'm thinking that he's, like, trying to get John, like, integrated into, like, the Wildling Society so he could get in and kill Mance Rayder.
Something.
Because, like, John, like they said, Jon Snow is the bastard Ned Stark, one of the first men. And right. He is, and, like, the Wild, like, that Ikrit does like him and stuff, and I'm guessing that at some point he's going to be able to have a chance to kill Mance Rayder.
Possibly.
So maybe that's what the guy was saying, like, even if you have to die, make sure Mance Rayder doesn't march on the wall. Or right. Something. Yeah, I didn't really understand that.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing to me.
Yeah. But hey, we got a Night's Watch cloak underneath the First Men sigil thing, and obsidian daggers and what have you.
Yeah, that seems kind of cool. They didn't really touch on it too much, so yeah. I'm interested to see what exactly they're going to do with that.
Yeah, I want
to
know what that fucking horn is. Because, like, everything in that, because, like, it was a cloak and everything in it was obsidian except that horn. It was just, like...
Yeah, and I didn't even know it was a horn.
Yeah, it was, like, a horn on, like, a chain or something, so maybe it was, like, a calling thing, like, what the Swedish people do or something. I don't know, but it was kind
of interesting. Could it be one of the horns, like, in one of the earlier episodes when they were talking about it was one... You blow the horn once for Rangers, twice for Wildlings, and three times for White Walkers.
Maybe.
Is it like a horn like that?
Maybe.
Possibly?
Yeah, maybe, possibly. But I want to know where they got the daggers. Like, I want to know who actually put that shit down there.
Yeah, I want to know what the daggers are for, because it looks like they don't even have handles. They look like they're made to have handles, but don't.
Yeah, it looks like something you put in the end of a spear or an arrowhead or something.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if because it's called Dragon Glass, is what, like, Sam called it.
Yeah, it's like, it's a Dragon Glass. The crafters call it obsidian.
Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe that's some kind of material, I guess, that's better for killing, like, White Walkers, let's say.
Maybe. Like, obsidian is an actual thing.
Right.
You know, it's also in Minecraft by pouring water on lava.
You don't ever talk about penises again.
Hey, you were the one who brought up penises. I just said Minecraft.
Yeah, well, that's all I hear now, because Minecraft is penis. This is the new slang for penis.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll get to see some White Walkers soon. Hopefully.
Possibly. This seems like... I don't understand why White Walkers are not... I don't know. I don't know what I should think here about White Walkers. It just seems like the show in its entirety opened up to White Walkers. Mm-hmm. Something that hasn't been around for like 1,000 years. And has only been seen at the very first episode, right at the very, very beginning, and one other time. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like...
Well, there was that one where you saw the White Walker in the shadows.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just... I feel like something needs to be more...
Yes.
White Walkers need to be a more... pivotal thing, but I don't know.
Yes, White Walkers could be... White Walkers should be much more of a threat.
But, I mean, if they haven't been around for 1,000 years...
Yeah, they haven't been around for 1,000 years, and then they came back. So that should be, like, the whole thing, but now we have, like, a five-front war or something. Like, you got like, the Pikes... You got, like, the guys from Pike... You got the Greyjoys coming in, then you got, like, the Starks coming up there, then you got them going both ways, and you got, like, the Baratheons coming in, and then you have Daenerys on the other side, and then you have, like, the Wildlings coming down from the north.
Yeah, the wildlings are going to fight against, or apparently bring a fight to the wall.
Yeah, it's like they have so much other shit going on that the White Walker just kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's how it is in the books too. I guess. I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well.
I just feel like White Walkers probably shouldn't have been the thing that they opened the entire series on, if they were gonna really do nothing with it.
Yeah. Oh well, it's all to King's Landing. So King's Landing, there are three paragraphs for this thing. We're gonna go one by each paragraph. So, Tyrion Lannister and Bronn plan the defense of King's Landing with the aid of several old texts. When Lord Varys asks how they plan to hold off Stannis' ship, Tyrion replies, "Pig shit," referencing an earlier meeting with Pyromancer Helaen and his barrels of wildfire.
I wondered what he meant by pig shit.
Yeah, sort of. I thought, like, wait, so you're just gonna fling pig shit at them?
Right. Yeah. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, they probably mentioned something like that in the episode when he actually said you're gonna stop making wildfire for my sister and start making it for me.
Right.
But yeah. So one thing that I did kind of like was the great sieges of King's Landing, and how no one could pronounce the author's name right.
Right.
Like Tyrion trying it three times, and then and Bronn come up and is like, "Oh no, what's this?" And then Varys comes in and is like, "Oh, if only this guy had better penmanship." And he just saw Tyrion look up at Bronn and is like, "That's how you fucking pronounce it."
Right.
Yeah, I did kind of like that.
That whole scene was kind of humorous to me. Especially like when he's picking his nails, and Tyrion's like, "Do you get in here?"
Yeah.
And Bronn's like, "What do you want? Like, I can't clear my fingers. I can't look in your direction."
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. But I also like Bronn, like his he's been in some sieges before, I guess, because he knows what to do.
Yeah.
Like I say, like with him in charge, like thieving has dropped considerably. It's like, how do you do that? Round up every known thief. And then Tyrion's just like, "Wait, what? Why?
Yeah.
It's kind of like what is wrong with you? Why are you doing this?" And then he like actually does that whole speech of how things in a siege go. Like I liked. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess he might play an important part in the siege.
Probably.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say about this part, or should we move on?
No, that was all I really had to say about it.
Okay, so...
I don't think it was that, what's up?
I was gonna move on to the next bit.
Okay.
Okay, so... While dining with his sister Cersei, Tyrion is accused of plotting to have King Joffrey killed during the defense of King's Landing, which isn't everybody.
Right?
Cersei tells Tyrion that she has kidnapped his prostitute lover and intends to hold her to ensure Joffrey's safety. When Tyrion asks for proof that they have Shae, that Shae is still alive, Cersei orders her brought into the room, where Tyrion discovers that she has kidnapped Ross and not Shae. Tyrion had hired Ross before in Winterfell, and had paid her with a lion's head necklace, which Cersei mistook as a sign of his love. Tyrion promises Ross that he will save her, and tells his sister that she will pay for what she has done. He later leaves to his bedchamber, relieved to find Shae safe. Later, Tyrion tries to get Joffrey to understand the danger they face, but Joffrey's inexperience and overconfidence leave Tyrion fearful for the coming battle.
I think the best part about that whole thing when the queen brings out the whore, Ross, in turn, you know, says to her, like, I'll promise I'll save you, whatever. She probably could have outed him right there and been like, "I don't know what the fuck's going on here. I'm not who you guys think I am."
Yeah.
You got the wrong chick, probably. But she went with it. I was like, she's got some balls, I guess.
Yeah. And, like, one thing I did like was how Cersei was just, like, so full of her. Like, "Oh, I got your whore." When they come back, it's the wrong one, and she's still, like, all self-satisfied. It's like, yes, quite. I really like that. I really liked how just fucking full of herself she was, even though she was completely wrong.
Right.
And Tyrion knew this, and he was still just like kind of played along with this, like, oh yeah, you keep thinking that, you bitch.
Yeah.
It was great. It's great.
Yeah, and then you got fucking Joffrey. God damn, I hope he does die.
Yeah, it's... He can't live. Like, being the character that he is, he already has people wanting to fucking kill him. Like, people who are literally ripping dudes apart by the limbs.
With their bare fucking hands.
Yes, if he can inspire that level of violence in people just by being around them, he's gonna get his fucking head, he's gonna get his fucking head stoved in.
Yeah, for the queen to be so pissed off at Tyrion, what can he do? I mean, yeah, he's saying, yeah, Joffrey should go fight, you know, so that he's not a coward hiding behind his mother. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she's getting pissed off at him for saying that, but at the same time, he's not going to be able to stop him. I mean, like, it improves it when he goes and talks to him and he's trying to tell Joffrey, you know,
yeah, maybe think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, one thing that I did like, was it like they took the piss out of him? Like he says, I'm gonna go board Joffrey's like, I'm gonna go board Uncle Stannis' ship and give him a red grin ear to ear. And and Tyrion's like, imagine the look of terror on Stannis' face. And Varys is like, I'm trying. It's like taking the piss out of Joffrey behind his back, and it was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing I did like with Back of the Horror stuff, when like he actually goes and so what he thinks that so it's after the whole Thor thing, he goes back to his room and he's like freaking out because trying to find Shay, and then Shay just kind of comes out and he's like actually like visibly relieved. I do kind of like that, like showing that he actually does have like affection for her and he's not just a whore.
Yeah, I mean there's that whole scene there where he's, you know. He's like, you're mine. You know, yeah. She's like, yeah, I'm yours and you're mine.
Yeah, that was really great. I really like that.
It was sweet.
Yeah. She's probably going to die.
Probably. That's what I've already made that decision in my head.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving on to the final paragraph. Varys informs Tyrion that Daenerys Targaryen is still alive and that she has 3 dragons. Varys muses about the fact that it will take years for the dragons to grow and become a menace, to which Tyrion, skeptical about the dragons, replies that they will play that game later, Stannis being their main concern now. See, I like these two together.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, they're both, like, they are both very, strategic people. They don't have really any physical aspect to them, they're just all mental. They're all about using their smarts and shit.
Right.
And they could work well and be both, like, they could both work well together and be, like, really powerful foes against each other. They're both all about information and, like, the misdirection and all that shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they could either be really great allies or really powerful enemies.
Yeah. I think.
But, like, seriously says, Varys does have a bit of advantage because he doesn't have a dick.
Right.
Yeah, but I like the back and forth they do, like when they're sitting there, like staring off the edge of the castle, and just talking about the game. By the way, anyone out there playing? Yeah. By the way, anyone out there, you lose. I've already won the game. I've already won the game, so you know. But yeah, I like these two together.
Yeah, it was an interesting little conversation.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, it wasn't...
Hopefully they do more together.
I was just going to say, Go ahead.
Hopefully they do more together.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool to see what could transpire from those two having more conversations together. It seems like they have the same interests in some places.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both, you know, trying to talk Joffrey out of the whole fucking siege war thing.
Yeah, they're trying to
fighting.
They're trying to stop him from being a dumbass.
Yeah,
which is, I'm pretty sure, impossible. But
yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's going to do it for Episode 8, Prince of Winterfell. Be sure to come back next week when we'll be talking about Episode 9, Blackwater. So, ooh.
Yeah, this next episode looks pretty good. Looks like there's going to be some real action.
Yeah, looks like someone's going to die. Spoiler alert.
Who could it be?
Yeah, so... Till then, I'm dead.
I'm Shax, and I have a little worm.
We'll see you guys next time.